So I'm going to try and take me a second. I'm trying to get the YouTube out to others that. So I have to get it set up, get the link, and then send it. So that's why it may take a second. Well, it'll take longer than a second. Don't mind me as I'm sending it to each of these beloved. I'm just keeping them in prayer. There we go. Thank you. And we thank you for making the adjustments today and all that have been part of helping us. Oh, we just are very grateful. So please stand as we read the word of the Lord together in this 1 Samuel chapter 15. Then Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you as king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he set himself against him on the way while he was coming up from Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that he has, and do not spare him, but put to death both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." Then Saul summoned the people and numbered them and told them, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, depart, go down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the sons of Israel when they came up from Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. So Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as far as you go to Shur, which is east of Egypt. And he captured Agag, the king of Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were not willing to destroy them utterly, but everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I regret that I made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my commands. And Samuel was distressed and cried out to the Lord all night. Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, and it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself, then turned and proceeded on down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have carried out the command of the Lord. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, Wait, and let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, Speak. And Samuel said, Is it not true? Though you were little in your own eyes, you were made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed you king over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them and exterminate it. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord? Then Saul said to Samuel, I did obey the voice of the Lord, and went on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took some of the spoils, sheep and oxen, the choicest of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal. And Samuel said, Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord in your words, because I feared the people and listened to their voice. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned to go, Saul seized the edge of his robe, and it tore. So Samuel said to him, The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today, and has given it to your neighbor who is better than you. And also, the glory of Israel will not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. Then he said, I have sinned, but please honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel, and go back with me that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel went back following Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, Bring me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came to him cheerfully. And Agag said, Surely the bitterness of death is past. But Samuel said, As your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag to pieces before the Lord at Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, but Saul went up to his house at Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death, for Samuel grieved over Saul. And the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. Thus reads the word of God, and you may be seated. Thank you, Lord, for that which you have given for our growth and edification together in Jesus Christ. First Samuel 15:22. As the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. This morning, we come face to face with something in which we all have our intense dealings. Much like Saul in his disobedience to that which the Lord demanded of him, we often find ourselves putting forth excuses and examples of human reasoning to explain why we make certain choices in our lives which are at extreme odds with the Lord. We, as human beings, are very adept at the means of trying to make our statements of reasoned thought processes to explain away, at least to ourselves, those requirements of the Lord which we find to be in conflict with what we want or what we think is a better course. Stop at this point for a moment. We, human beings with finite minds and oh so limited knowledge of even what the next second will bring, think that we have a better plan in place than that which God has made ever in His Word and by His Holy Spirit. We think that we have a legitimate and reasonable arguments to put against the omnipotent, the omniscient, the omnipresent Lord God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Somehow, we convince ourselves that when we are disobedient, it is for a better purpose and outcome than what God has ordained from before even time was created. We think, and ever so adamantly and persistently and divisively, that our ways can be better and higher and more fulfilling than that which God has put forth as His perfect will for us on this earth today, tomorrow, and for all the days of our lives. We have the audacity to defiantly stand before the throne of God's holiness and righteousness and tell Him that He is wrong. Our defiant attitudes show that we think He is wrong, that He is making a mistake, that He is leading us down the wrong path. We think we know a better way, a shortcut through the wilderness, which will bring us out into our promised land in the fastest way possible. Sadly, I'm not being overly dramatic in this description. This is exactly the impudence that we put forth every time that we refuse to obey Him. We think that our way is better than His way. That is what Saul thought when he did not carry out the Lord's commandments. Thinking back to our morning's reading, notice how Saul first pushed the blame on the people. He was their king. And yet he was unable to stop them from gathering the finest of the booty. It was entirely their fault because they chose not to listen, and Saul was powerless to stop them. Then Saul began to defend himself. He mentioned that in fact he was bringing the choicest of the flocks to sacrifice to the Lord. He proffered the idea that surely God would be pleased with such fine sacrifices of the very best of the flocks and the herds of the Amalekites. These would undoubtedly be animals that would appease and please the Lord. As well, Saul was bringing the king of the Amalekites in order that he would bow before the throne of Israel and would become an emblem of the great work of Saul to deal such a blow to the enemies of the people of Jehovah. Agag was a prize to be exhibited as to the power and the strength of the Israelites over those who would try to oppose and abuse them. That was the apparent thought process of Saul. However, as this morning's text describes, there was far more at stake in the disobedience of Saul. No matter how many excuses of human reasoning could be put forth to show that Saul's actions and decisions should have been considered as good ones and should be recognized as such, they are still absolutely indicative of his lack of honor and reverence and obedience unto God. These were all in direct contrast and in defiant opposition to that which the Lord required. As Samuel so forcefully proclaimed, declaring the decision of the Lord to take the kingdom from the hands of Saul, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. And continuing on in verse 23 of this 15th chapter, 1 Samuel 15:23, "For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." Thus is the case with every one of our excuses, our arguments, our justifications, and our dissertations as to why we did what we did, when we did it, and how we did it. Despite the fact that it was all utterly against what the Lord required of us. We can put forth every humanly reasoned argument and sentimental plea and imaginative scenario, but the answer and the judgment will always be the same. When we do not obey, we suffer the consequences of the displeasure of our Lord God Almighty. This is such an insinuated behavior of our old human flesh that we would do well to spend some time dwelling on what is our required and necessary task on the earth as God's redeemed and chosen and beloved people. He takes no pleasure in the manner of having to deal with our impudence, but He will never overlook it or let it slide. He will work fully, absolutely, and completely, albeit lovingly, to make us realize that His way is always and forever much better and perfect and the expression of an eternally glorious plan which He desires all of His children to know in the full blessing of His so great love to us. Consider what Jehovah told His people when He led them out of bondage. There was no demand for sacrifices or any of those other rituals which have become the essence of determination as to the spirituality of so many groups of people claiming to be the chosen ones. Notice in Exodus 19:3-6 what the Lord told Moses to say to the children of Israel. Exodus 19:3-6. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. Throughout it all, there is that call to obedience, to honor the Lord in doing that which God puts forth as His will for His people. God knows that the manner of His people as a means to show how much we love Him is how completely we obey Him. This is the way in which the relationship will grow and flourish into something far beyond rules and regulations. That is what we humans have made of it. We have turned all the loving precepts and gracious protection of the Lord into calloused and rigid regulations and restrictions. What God always intended as our security from all the terrors of the nations with all their countless diseases and their idolatrous enslavement to the power of the enemy has become a burden in our eyes. We have morphed them into those regulations and requirements which we think are intended to weigh us down and to hinder our enjoyment of the pleasures of this age. We tell God that we're not going to obey His ordinances and His stipulated and manifested words of the law, of His law, because we want to experience all that this world has to offer. We want to taste the fruit, a tree of the knowledge of good and evil for ourselves, in order to have our eyes open to the delights and the enticements of those things that shine in our vision like flashy lures to a fish or flickering flame to a moth. We do not see His regulations as the means of showing His so great love by the fulfillment of them all in Jesus Christ. Rather than holding ourselves to the covenant of commitment and dedication and honor and filial sanctity, we cast aspersions and defamations against God and all that He has put forth as His message of love and perfection in Jesus Christ. What we understand in our human indignation and stubbornness is that the covenant into which we have committed ourselves, sealed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, is one of dedication and fidelity. Can someone help with Mike? Excuse us a second. Thank you. What we fail to understand in our human indignation and stubbornness is that the covenant into which we have committed ourselves, sealed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, is one of dedication and fidelity and consecration in the terms of a marriage bond. What God has set before us are not laws to restrain us, but terms of the covenant which are for the sake of both of us. God with us and we with Him. It is our obedience to those precepts which bind us wholeheartedly and lovingly to our Lord. Accordingly, we express our utmost and sincere love and appreciation of who He is and all that He has done to bring us into this relatedness with Him. That is how the psalmist can express exactly what pleases the heart of God so succinctly in Psalm 51, 16 and 17. Psalm 51, 16 and 17. For Thou dost not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. Thou art not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. God is not pleased with the ritualistic aspects of His people when they are done simply as a means of appeasement or because they have always been done as a cultural activity. God does not want to be considered as some divine entity who will rain down fire and brimstone upon those who do not offer Him the correct sacrificial obligatory works of human hands. Be it in order to avoid punishment or to show how spiritual one might be. This was so often the case when man would show everyone else how high and exalted that person should be considered in the eyes of others, forgetting that God desires the humbleness of heart and contriteness of spirit. a true reality of the living relationship with Jehovah is what pleases God, not those things that are done because they express the elevation of one man over another. The writer of the Proverbs addresses this in the exact terms as we are seeing with King Saul. Please turn to Proverbs 21, 2 and 3 as a witness against all of us who try to argue our spirituality in the ways that we think are better than obedience to God. Proverbs 21, 2 and 3. Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. To do righteousness and justice is desired by the Lord rather than sacrifice. We have dealt with this attitude of humanity in previous considerations, but it rears its ugly head again and again, as evidenced in this morning's reading. Saul made every excuse in order to justify what he had done. Yet God would not abide any of it. Everything that the king put forth as a reason for his disobedience is rank with this human propensity to justify actions that are in opposition to the holiness and the righteousness and the perfect will and plan of God. We all make these justifications for the things that we do. Yet the only thing that will please God is to do that which is His will and His way for our walk on this earth. When we are following the guidance of the love covenant of our relationship with our Lord, we will do only those things which show our love for Him. This is especially true in our treatment of other people. We will deal with all others in the righteousness with which God is dealing with us. We will show them the same favor and loving kindness and gentleness and patience and service of heart that floods our beings from the great and the endless treasury of heaven through Jesus Christ. There will be evidence through us, justice, not according to human standards, but that justice with which God has dealt with our sin and our trespasses. He sent His only begotten Son to die for us. He took upon Himself our transgressions and laid them forever on the death side of the cross. Then, in all the splendor of God's righteousness, through His resurrection power, He raised us up together with Himself into His glory. That is the justice with which we will deal with those who are in such need of the justice of God. We will lay down our lives, our rights, our natural instincts, for the sake of their coming into the full measure of the love of God. This is the sacrifice that pleases God. not when we toot our horn as we are so much better than someone else. Rather, it will be that quiet confidence in the Lord which will love even our enemies through the eternal and triumphant victory of the risen Son of God incarnate. Finally, for this morning, we hear the call of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 1, 11 through 16, with the full measure of what God truly has in his heart against those who try to justify their actions. These are the ones who practice a form of religion without any true sense of who God is. They set before the gathered throngs of admirers and suppliants the haughtiness of how good they consider themselves without any true idea of how black their hearts and actions are before Jehovah. Isaiah 1, 11 through 16. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle, and I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity in the solemn assembly. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide much from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. This is the clarion call to all of us in our human residue of self-righteousness and disobedience. We may find ourselves doing this exact act of bringing before the eyes of our gathered assemblies the works and the hollow echoes of songs which have no true meaning or honor before the Lord. We need to earnestly seek after the Holy Spirit to be the validation of all that we offer to God. We need to ask God for His justice and His righteousness and His heart of love into us. We must have contrite and humble hearts that put forth complete obedience unto the Lord as our sacrifices of honor and adoration. We dare not bring those token and ritualistic offerings and sacrifices which mean nothing before the throne of God. We must seek to delight Him with hearts that are humble and spirits that are contrite in the full measure of a love that will span the eternal ages in Jesus Christ. So be it. Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Amen.
Praise God, brother.